1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Senate Democrats meet behind closed doors today to discuss next steps for President Biden's reelection effort. Separately, the president's physician released a letter last night aimed at answering reporters' questions about a Parkinson's disease specialist who visited the White House 8 times in 8 months.
Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the chief executive's physician, said Dr. Kevin Kennard examined President Biden for his annual physicals. O'Connor says exam results were made public each time and there's no signs of Parkinson's. Dr. O'Connor says Dr. Kennard and the president gave permission late Monday to release the information. O'Connor says Kennard has been to the White House dozens of times and holds regular neurology clinics for thousands of active duty service members assigned there.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Nearly 2 million Houston area homes and businesses with no electric power after now Tropical Storm Beryl, which is raining itself out over the Mississippi and Ohio River valleys. This is ABC. An enormous donation to a prominent medical school will translate into free tuition for most who complete their degrees. The story from ABC's Sherry Preston.
Starting in the fall, Johns Hopkins University Med School will be free for students from families earning less than $300,000 a year, thanks to a billion-dollar gift from Bloomberg Philanthropies. For those whose families earned less than $175,000, room and board and fees will also be covered. Most Johns Hopkins School of Medicine students graduate with about $100,000 in student debt. This gift will lower that to about $60,000 by 2029. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Talk about some derring do. An empty runaway powerboat was speeding in circles on New Hampshire's Lake Winnipesaukee. 17-year-old Brady Procon jumped on a jet ski, pulled alongside, jumped aboard, and cut the engine. Procon, who's joining the Navy, told WMUR-TV it was scary and fun. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from, that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Dells, our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Will Todd be on a duck boat? Find out.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have just the slightest chance of an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 83 today, 64 tonight. We'll get to 79 tomorrow, and we're going to keep warming it up. We're talking mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
Not a bad Tuesday on the way. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is Midwest Farm Report. We're going to help you understand more about Wisconsin agriculture, where your food comes from, and some of the colorful folks helping to make it all happen. Yeah, weather-wise, today, not too bad. It looks like we are going to see some partly sunny skies, maybe a little patchy fog up in the La Crosse area to start your day, but that should burn off. Again, like I said, partly sunny skies today. It's going to get a little on the warm side, probably around 84 in the La Crosse area, 81 in Madison, cooler along the lakeshore, around 78 degrees. Then this afternoon into the evening, another chance of showers builds into our forecast. Could include a thunderstorm. Think that's some of that activity that we're seeing off the hurricane that's now really impacting the state of Texas. We'll find out more about our weather details and get specifics when Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, steps in. We're also going to be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll be joining us live. Coming up just around the corner, I am going to be visiting with a fella that is still chasing birds after severe weather in the Janesville area. Bill McFarland at McFarland's Pheasant Farm in Janesville, Wisconsin, the largest pheasant and partridge owner in North America, got hit dead on by an F2 tornado. We're going to find out how the rebuild process is going there. That's just around the corner. Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Well, the rebuilding process continues for McFarland's Pheasants, located in Janesville. It was at dead center of an F2 tornado that came through the third week of June. Bill McFarland, who owns and operates the largest pheasant and partridge farm in North America, says it was unlike anything that he's seen and destroyed an awful lot of their structures.
We have six brooder barns. They're 50 by 300 feet each. And when they're filled with their brooder barns, that means we brood young chicks, because pheasants can't just go to the outside when they're hatched. They have to be kept warm and have food for about 6 or 7 weeks. So we put them in these brooder sheds, and the number that goes in each shed is 40,000 pheasants. And the tornado basically destroyed is a pretty strong word. What could I say? It was pretty much a bullseye on four of the six sheds. I don't see how we're going to rebuild them, fix them. We're going to have to put new pens up, new barns up. But the biggest thing that affected us was the fact that they were barns, but we also have covered pens. When the birds get 6 or 7 weeks old, they go from the barn to an outside pen, which basically is just an enclosure with netting over the top. We have about 200 acres of pens on our farm, and 16 of the acres, the pens were basically gone. I mean, when we looked Sunday, they were just completely ripped to nothing. So we had a lot ahead of us to take control, not only to see how many birds were killed or dead, but all the escapes we had. We had a lot of pheasants and partridges saying, "Yeehaw, I can get out of here," and they did. They were all over the place, and they still are today. There's still a bunch of them out.
man, that is unbelievable to think about, just the structural damage that was done. And it's not like you had shabby barns. These were all well-built buildings, well-built fences, well-built enclosures. This really shouldn't have happened.
Well, I think of it as, you know, if I'm one of the piggies, you know, my house is made of brick. You know, I think that in the way we build the pens is pretty strong, but it didn't hold up to this tornado at all.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Bill McFarland along with us again. McFarland Pheasants, it's a staple in Wisconsin, but it's also a source of pheasants and partridge relied on in the United States, North America, and around the world. We talked about timing, Bill, and that the timing on this, not very good. Explain for people what stage those birds or your business was at when the tornado came through.
Well, I first want to address the issue of timing. You know, we have absolutely no control whatsoever as far as timing, so I might as well just mention to you, Pam, there's no sense put any energy towards timing, because it's just the way it is. In the summer, we hatch. Basically, we have our first hatches in March, and we hatch weekly from March until the second or third week of August. And those are the babies that then are raised up through the summer, and then this fall we deliver them to customers all over as mature pheasants are released to stock for hunting. So the stage we're in is our barns are filled. Our pens are not all filled. We have a lot of empty pens because it's still early in the pen season. So it offered us an opportunity for some place for these birds that got loosed and the birds that were in the buildings that were now secure. We needed to get them out. And we hadn't moved birds out in a few weeks because of the wet weather that was coming, but we had the pens ready. They were set up. One of the employees had got ahead and had a bunch of pens ready. So when we started making plans this past Sunday, they involved moving birds out. And generally speaking, when we move birds from brooder barns to pens, 15,000 birds is a pretty big number. On Monday, they moved 30,000 birds as a crew of people moved 30,000 birds from the barns to the pens. And they did another 30 on Tuesday, and they did another 30 on Wednesday. So as of Thursday, I was given the report that all the birds that were in the barns were secure. There was no more flying out of the barns. Everything had food and water. And they started on the pen operation on Friday. And today I was told that by the end of the day today, the pheasants that were in the pens that had no roof have all been herded to the best of our ability into pens that do have roofs. And you can imagine trying to get birds to get it, go someplace you want, and there's no roof. That means if they, at any moment they can say, hey, I'm out of here, and they fly up and away. But they've got the birds secured in the pens as of today. So we're way ahead of where we were a week ago.
Is there anything that clients are being told about how this impacts your operation, or with the help of your employees, do you believe you'll be able to get back on schedule without too much loss?
Well, our hatchery is a mile away from where the main farm is, and there's no issue with the hatchery at all. Thank goodness. Thank God. So the eggs are in the incubators are fine. We breed our pheasants in three smaller farms in Missouri that are a 9-hour drive from here, so there's no issue there with the egg supply coming from the breeders. So this week we had a hatch just like we normally did on Wednesday this past week, and we shipped the chicks just like we normally did because we had the hatch come right off. There was no issue there. The whole issue we absorbed ourselves by not taking chicks to the farm in the next few weeks is we won't have brooder barns to put them in because the brooder barns are wrecked. So all those chicks that were going to go to the farm in the next few weeks, We put them up for sale, and we've sold them all already. And then we grabbed for our farm chicks in August off hatches that we were just kind of saving. Because at the end of the season, there's a lot of variables, so we tend to be pretty conservative at the end of the season and keep extra on for sale if we need to. And we grabbed all those, and we were able to grab enough in August to make up for what we'd lost in these next few weeks. So the answer to your question is, it should have no effect on our supply to our customers at all.
Wow.
We should be able to manage it. Wow. Yeah, wow is right, because we could have been sold out of chicks, and that would have been really bad.
Oh.
But we kept some. You know, I've been through this. I've been running the farm for 40 years, actually more than that, 44 years. And I've learned that if you sell all your birds at the end and then you have any kind of trouble, you're always short. So I've learned years ago to caution myself at the end of the season to always give some leeway. And so that took all the pressure off for us to have those extra birds in August, because we don't have to call anybody. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that rely on us, Pam, for yeah. birds for their operation. And without the birds, they're about shut down. So that would have been a really bad thing if I would have had to call and say, hey, sorry. Even though it was a tornado, we had contingency plans and they worked.
Well, have you ever been through anything like this, though, Bill?
Mm-mm. No, I've never been through anything like this before, no.
Oh. Now, the other question that I can't help but ask, what's next? Does insurance cover you? I have no foggy clue how you insure for birds that can take off when they want to. But tell me what's next with your plans. You've been in the game for 45 years. When the last time you and I talked, there was conversation about, you know, the next phase of life. What's next? What's the plan?
Well, the plan is to build the barns back up pronto and let's go. I have a lot of employees that definitely this is where they've chosen to put their stakes down. They've come from other areas of the country and of the world. And we've got a good business, and I'm not as crucial as I used to be. I'm not knocking myself, but I have really good people that can run things with or without me. I'd still have a role. Like, I'd get to talk to you. Like, when the things like this happen, I could be the PR guy. But the reality is we're going to definitely move forward. We did have insurance in the barns. It wasn't sort of, kind of. We have clear-cut insurance with tornadoes being a peril that's listed as possible, you know, the insurable peril. So we're okay that way. As far as me goes, well, we just have to figure it out. I think we can figure it out to keep the farm running. I don't see any reason why we can't. I'll still have some role, but maybe a different role than I do now.
Resilient. That's Bill McFarland, owner and operator of McFarland Pheasant in the community of Janesville after suffering a direct hit by an F2 tornado back in June. The business model, he says, going forward will remain pretty much the same. They'll continue to provide industry-leading quality game birds for taxidermy as well as for hunting. They'll also continue to provide people with chicks. The only thing that might change, he said, is pivoting away from their farm-raised pheasant game meats and transitioning that business element to a current employee. More can be found at pheasant.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade. And if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, Mino Sheen. You smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We'll review the Sean Hannity interview with Donald Trump. I'm sure he's asking crushing questions like, will you leave the race, sir?
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Comedian and actress named Vanessa Bayer to a New York dairy farm. Tyler Beck was the dairy farmer that hosted her in upstate New York. And he said, yeah, it was interesting.
She started milking cow by hand. And then we got to show her the real parlor, how we milk today's age, not how we did it 50, 60 years ago. And then she got to load that milk into the parlor and hopped in with a truck driver and took it to our plant, unloaded it, and saw how we processed it and how the end result looked. And I think it was really cool to take not only her, but the consumer through her eyes, through that entire process of milk out of the cow to the parlor, out of the tank, and then to the plant.
Tyler Beck, he's the dairy farmer that hosted comedian and actress Vanessa Bayer. He said the message got through, but there were elements of humor.
You could tell she was a professional comedian. She was hilarious to work with, very quirky. Loved the skits I researched ahead of time for Saturday Night Live just to prep myself about who I would be working with for a week. And she was up for anything, which made the week really fun.
You can follow along. Dairy Diaries is where that information is shared. Dairy Diaries on social media. Stu Mike, ag meteorologist, joining us. Like, do you agree? There's just some days you better laugh or you will be crying in agriculture.
Oh, you'd be crying and sad forever. So some days, yeah, most days.
Today we got a little sunshine on the way. Tell me about it.
Some. There's still going to be clouds around east and especially southeast Wisconsin. More sunshine the further west and northwest you get in the state. It has a lot to do with the front that's just pulled east of Wisconsin. And then what's happening with the tropical depression barrel, previous tropical storms. It makes its way up through Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois. They're pointing it now toward far northwest Ohio or far southeast lower Michigan. That's where the center of the storm may go. Oh, it's not going to bring inches and inches of rain to Wisconsin, but it will mean some rain chances here. In fact, showers this morning in southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, just into southwest parts of Indiana. Some of the development may wave north and on into Wisconsin. Just a slight chance of rain here a little later today. Another possibility later Wednesday. Not going to add up to much, you know, a tenth of an inch here or there. But then finally, we are going to start to dry out and warm up a little bit more. I'll have more on the forecast after this.
I think we can all agree the 2024 growing season is not going as planned. Helena Agri is there to try to revise plans as the weather changes. Dean Ebert, he is the Helena Agri representative from West Bend.
I guess the attitude that we try to take here is we want to partner with our growers. Each farm is different. Each farm has different expectations. Some of these farms, what we did is we put in some foliar nitrogen on their herbicide pass to help mitigate some stress and then increased or decreased their second application of nitrogen with urea AMS or 28%. But it's unique farm to farm. Some guys had to turn over some hay ground, which obviously didn't need nitrogen. Some guys had to abandon some wheat acres that got flooded. There's times you just got to scrap the plan and do what's best for the grower. And sometimes it's not an easy decision. We got to partner and find solutions that will work individually for each farm.
Dean Ebert at the West Bend location for Helena Agri. You can find out more locations and products at HelenaAgri.com. All right, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, let's talk today about more partly sunny skies east, even more sun in the west. There's a really slight rain chance in about the southeast half of the state late today. Temps in the low 80s as winds will become more north at about 5. Mostly cloudy, could be a little rain further east yet ending tonight. Mid-60s and low 60s right along the lake. The northeast winds at 5. For Wednesday, we'll call it partly sunny. And again, a slight chance of a shower, very isolated thunderstorm, real pop-up stuff. In the upper 70s and low 80s, coolest in the east. And by Thursday, mostly sunny, Pam, a slight chance of an afternoon shower in the east and south, but low 80s. And then we start heading to the mid 80s Friday and a lot warmer in the weekend.
It figures county fair season. So can you imagine having a farm in for 9 generations?
No,
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We're happy that we get, five generations around here. Well, coming up, we are going to talk with a woman that is a part of the ninth generation of a farm. It's in New Mexico, but it's a story you don't want to miss. Stick around. That's on the way. So is John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live to give us a little update on what's happening in the markets on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. This week, we're looking at the reasons why people don't vote. Research shows that when citizens don't follow the daily news or when their family and friends don't vote, citizens are less likely to vote. A 2020 Ipsos NPR survey shows a suspicion of news media among non-voters, 80% of whom agree with the statement, "The mainstream media are more interested in making money than telling the truth." Non-voters watch less television, see less news on mobile devices and computers, and are less likely to follow campaigns. Only a third watched part of a political convention, and two-thirds didn't watch a debate. Another factor, family and friends. Only 5% of non-voters say they do discuss politics with family members. 41% never discuss politics with their family. 53% say they never discuss politics with friends. But there is more and more evidence that influence of family members and friends can encourage non-voters to register and vote, particularly among younger voters. A 2016 New York Times article interviewed Henry Brady, dean of the Goldman School of Public Policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He said, "Voting behavior is very much a habit. If you've had the behavior modeled in your home by your parents consistently voting, by political discussion, sometimes by participation, you start a habit formation, and then when you become a little older, you'll feel it's your duty and responsibility to register and vote." Links to articles and the surveys can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, "Well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do." And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Senate Democrats meet behind closed doors today to discuss next steps for President Biden's reelection effort. Separately, the president's physician released a letter last night aimed at answering reporters' questions about a Parkinson's disease specialist who visited the White House 8 times in 8 months.
Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the chief executive's physician, said Dr. Kevin Kennard examined President Biden for his annual physicals. O'Connor says exam results were made public each time and there's no signs of Parkinson's. Dr. O'Connor says Dr. Kennard and the president gave permission late Monday to release the information. O'Connor says Kennard has been to the White House dozens of times and holds regular neurology clinics for thousands of active duty service members assigned there.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Nearly 2 million Houston area homes and businesses with no electric power after now Tropical Storm Beryl, which is raining itself out over the Mississippi and Ohio River valleys. This is ABC.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Eau Claire parents are asking the Supreme Court for permission to sue their school district over a gender support policy. The district policy says staff should respect the student's chosen gender and doesn't need to notify parents. Parents say that violates their constitutional rights. The case has already been dismissed twice from lower courts for lack of standing. A lot of farm workers do their jobs outside in extreme heat in the summer. The Biden administration wants to guarantee them mandatory rest breaks, shade, and clean drinking water. Samantha Guerrero is a community organizer who says it's high time.
There are a lot of farm workers who are in danger of losing their lives in these extreme temperatures. And so far, we have seen no urgency to enact or create any protection.
479 American workers died from heat exposure between 2011 and 2022. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers back in Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field, the Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee had yesterday off. The Pirates coming off an 8-2 win over the Mets at PNC Park. Pittsburgh's Mitch Keller with another strong performance on the mound, going 8 innings on 107 pitches, holding the Mets to just 2 runs. The Brewers may have filled a spot in the starting rotation with lefty Dallas Keuchel, who kept the Dodgers in check Sunday. Brewers center fielder Blake Perkins.
You know, I'll have to say, like, Keuchel did a really good job shutting down innings like after we scored. You know, we had some long innings there, but there was no runs on the board.
Elsewhere, the Cardinals blanked the Nationals 6-0 in D.C. The Reds shut out the Rockies 6-0 in Cincinnati. Stock car racing tonight, the 45th Slinger Nationals at the Slinger Speedway in Wisconsin. Drivers who have competed in the past include Bobby Allison, Dale Earnhardt, Steve Appel, and defending champ Ty Majeski, expected there tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Join me Tuesday morning. My good friend Sandy Williams will be back, and we'll dive even deeper into Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have just the slightest chance of an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 83 today, 64 tonight. We'll get to 79 tomorrow, and we're going to keep warming it up. We're talking mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Before President Biden sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, he made the call to Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up.
From now and through the election, count on Civic Media to give you unparalleled front row access to the stories and newsmakers that matter most. Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. When you need real news and great conversation, count on us, the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Report with Pam Yonke.
Little fog to burn off this morning in the La Crosse area. Otherwise, some sunshine on the way. Going to get a little on the sticky side. Temperatures in the low 80s for a lot of us. A little cooler along the lakeshore. Welcome back, everybody. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I always want to remind you to follow us on social media as well. That's Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. Also, check out Midwest Farm Report on Instagram as well as Twitter. So, like I said, today we've got some sunshine on the way. Get ready to warm up later this week, that is for sure, because we are expecting temperatures into the 90s before we're all done. Today is the 9th day of July. What can I tell you? On this day, back in 1877, the first Wimbledon championship is held. The All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club in London hosted the very first one. On this day in 1962, Andy Warhol's iconic Campbell's soup cans make their debut, first displayed at the Fergus Gallery in Los Angeles, and they became very instrumental in popularizing pop art on this day back in 1962. Donkey Kong released by Nintendo at this date back in 1981. And let's wish a happy birthday to singer Courtney Love. She is 60 years young. And Tom Hanks celebrating his 68th birthday today. And now you know. Well, we know there are all kinds of stories that help make up production agriculture across the United States. During the recent Sand County Foundation National Conference here in Madison, we had a chance to catch up with a ninth generation farmer in New Mexico named Bella Wood. Now, come on. If you've kept a farm legacy intact for 9 generations, you're doing something right. Charity Seebecker joins us with her story.
If you want a farming legacy to last for many generations, it's important to make sure you're taking good care of the land by using effective conservation practices. Bella Wood, 9th generation farmer of Ute Creek Cattle Company in New Mexico, shares her family success story. With over 250 years of the Ute Creek Cattle Company, the practices that they use there are still beneficial to us here.
I'm very dedicated to working with young people, specifically how can we bring young people who haven't got the land resources that I do back onto the land, and how can we support their entry into agriculture, whatever that looks like on the land, in policy and science, whatever that looks like. So that's my drive for being back on the ranch.
So take me through a little bit more about the ranch specifically.
Yeah, so the ranch was 200,000 acres. And over the years, it has been smaller and smaller due to drought and bugs and Dust Bowl and all of those things that have happened over the last 250 years. But at this point where we are, we're on 14,000 acres in a population 4 town. So to give some idea of the remoteness, we're 47 miles from a gallon of milk. So things are working well. For a long time, we were a cow-calf operation. And actually last year, we sold our herd. Because my grandparents were alone on the ranch, it did not make a lot of sense for them to keep doing all the labor. So we're now looking at a leasing operation specifically to stalkers. And it's an interesting time of transition. And that, I think, is what has made the ranch, the land itself, work for so long, for so well. And it's been wonderful to see that transition happen. Obviously, in agriculture, you have to be able to pivot really well. And it's clear that that's been what's happening. And we're trying to keep pivoting really well and make choices that are good for the family.
So then, speaking of that, what maybe are some of the issues or challenges that you are facing right now in New Mexico?
So the biggest one is the drought. It was funny driving up here. Here we're sitting in the car in a torrential rainstorm. I'm white knuckling the steering wheel, and my grandmother, who is seven generations on that land, grew up there. It's like, oh, this rain, this gorgeous rain. And I'm sitting there white knuckling it. You know, this is a tough one, but where we come from, we measure our rain in hundredths of an inch. You know, we got 300ths, and we record it diligently in a notebook, thinking about how much rain we get. So we're always at the mercy of the elements, and it goes both ways. Flooding that happens here is the drought that's happening there. So that's a big piece. And then just trying to maintain practices that make it so ranches are sustainable, I think that's a very key one. And protecting producers who are trying to do the right thing, how do we make it so their bottom line reflects that they're trying to do the right thing? I think that those are two big ones, and obviously they go hand in hand. The climate is just, it drives us all. We're all on its ship.
So can you talk about some of the conservation practices that you guys do implement on your farm then?
Yeah, so my grandparents returned to the ranch after living for 40 years in Wyoming. They returned to the ranch 23 years ago. And over those 23 years, they returned to ground that was dust. It was as flat as a board, so it didn't have any nutritional grass on it at all. But they transformed that, so their first point was to get rid of all the salt cedar that was in the creek. So they fenced off 10 miles of creek, pulled, sprayed, and didn't graze in that land for 3 years. And it brought back the creek. There was no creek. Now there is a thriving riparian area. They fenced 23 acres of land and specifically put it towards bird habitat. And one of the key best indicators we have was in 2002, when they returned, there were 17 bird species. And our most recent bird count in 2022, we had 112. So to see that, right, what's good for the bird is good for the herd. I love that statement because it's so obvious. You can see that as your habitat improves and you're seeing more birds, your cows are fatter, your manure is going into the ground easier, all of those things. And then another really good one is we implemented the use of shade balls. So they're softball-sized balls that go on a drinker. So on a 20-foot drinker, 16,000 gallons of water is saved every year, and reducing 91% of evaporation off of a livestock tank. So with that, I ran some of the numbers. We've conserved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gallons of water, and we're mining ancient water. We need to protect it. There's clearly, we don't get a lot of rain, so we have to really focus on that. And so those are some really key pieces, right? How do we maintain the land, the air, and the water? Because it is such a symbiotic relationship. That's where that comes down to.
That was Bella Wood of Ute Creek Cattle Company in New Mexico. Whether dealing with dry spells or passing the farm to new generations, her family's methods highlight the important rules for farmers everywhere. Using conservation and new ideas helps farms grow and last, protecting both the land and jobs for future families, no matter the challenge or places. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window.
that saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harvextra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Don't forget John Heinberg on the way here in just a moment. I'm Pam Yonke. Well, Wisconsin farmers feeling a little bit better about their crop this week compared to last. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says as of Sunday, 62% of our corn was rated good to excellent. That's up 1 percentage point in a week. 60% of our soybeans rated good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points in just a week's time. And the crops are moving along across the state right now. We're getting the first reports of corn silking and the first reports of soybeans blooming. Now, this year, it's going to be a field-by-field situation. 84% of our oat crop has headed. 32% is starting to color, which is a sign of maturity. Second cutting of alfalfa, 45% done. Our potato crop, 90% looks good to excellent. That's also up 2 percentage points in a week. But boy, our pastures are taking a pounding because of all this wet weather. 69% of the crop are the pastures called good to excellent. That's down 2 percentage points in just a week's time. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Right now, we've got December new crop corn down a half at 407. November new crop beans are down 6 right now at 1094. The September wheat, that's actually up a penny now at 571 a bushel. Barrel cheese yesterday in Chicago gained 3¾ cents to 194. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 6 at 196, while AA butter drifted a quarter cent lower to 313 a pound. August Class 3 milk closed 30 cents stronger, 2043. Remember, that's the milk that goes into cheese. September Class 3 milk, that was down to, is down to, at 2071 a hundredweight. John Heinberg next.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Joe Biden's top 100 rolls into days 25 and 26. We're talking infrastructure and transportation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
With this hurricane coming in Texas, well, what'd you see when they released the data yesterday?
Well, again, those numbers did go a tick higher, up a percentage point over last week for both corn and soybeans as we got some improved weather. So probably just getting some things dried out and getting things greened up over the last week or so here. You know, but again, we're seeing that improvement in those key states, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana. You know, we're watching how those numbers are progressing. And then, again, obviously that's the Corn Belt side of it. Now, Wisconsin actually did pick up 3% on the soy conditions, just a percentage point on the corn. You know, I was on the road over the weekend for the 4th of July or at the end of the week there. And, you know, that central core of the state, at least in my travels, the Beaver Dam area, Columbus area, a lot of wetness there. You can see definitely the impact of the rain and things. But then as you got into the southwest corner of the state, things look pretty doggone good. Beans a little slow, but they even popped up in the couple days I was down there because we just finally got to dry out a little bit.
Yeah, that is the truth. When we're keeping our fingers crossed that this week any of the rain we pick up won't drought us again. I do want to pivot just a second to the hurricane, John. I know that it's early on, and what we see happening in Texas is at, you know, like moment by moment. But what's your read on what's getting hit in Texas? Any implications for agriculture?
Yeah, well, keep an eye on the cotton market in that regard. And that was, you know, we're getting to that stage in the cotton crop, too, where it doesn't really like a whole lot of moisture at this time frame. It wants to stay a little bit on the drier side. So that'll be probably the biggest focus there. The corn crop in Texas is already getting close to pollination or getting close to harvest window here fairly soon. So we'll have to see if that comes into it at all. You know, the biggest thing, and that was one of the biggest reasons the market took the dive it did yesterday, is the fact that they're forecasting that moisture and looking at the radar this morning. Southern Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, if you pop, look at the drought monitor map, has popped up with a little bit of yellow here, and they've been looking for some rain, and this thing is the storm's path is headed right through that key area, and there's good rain coverage on rain so far this morning across Southern Illinois on the radars.
So let's pivot a little bit then and talk about what else is happening elsewhere in the world that could impact our markets. Currency, everybody's always paying attention to what's going on with values, and then we've got political situations developing in Europe.
Yeah, first off, on the currency side, probably the biggest ones out there is what's happening with the Brazilian real and their currency. The new administration is trying to figure out some, you know, economic situations, budget cuts, things along those lines. And because of that, the Brazilian real continues to be very, very soft on the global scale. And that's allowing those Brazilian products, the corn and soybeans especially, to come in and be cheaper than the U.S. market. And we saw talk last week that China was a big buyer of Brazilian beans, up to 60 cargoes maybe. And most of them were for new crop soybeans for next spring, including some beans here for delivery in August. You know, so when those numbers start coming out, again, just that dependency of Brazil beans to China versus the United States, I think that was a big piece of the puzzle. Really weighed on new crop prices yesterday for both corn and soybeans. It's just that potential competition that stays there from South America.
Interesting, interesting. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, along with us. Always want to remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number if you want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. So what else are you going to be keeping an eye on, John? I mentioned, and we had news on about the U.S. Meat Export Federation says, despite the currency challenges and its escalated price, beef is still moving.
Yeah, beef has been moving very, very well. And actually, realistically, pork has. Now, the May numbers were down a little bit for both of those in terms of the export numbers. Pork was down 4%. Beef exports in May were down 5% versus last year. But it's that year-over-year total from January through May where we're seeing a nice move, 5% year-over-year for beef on the positive side. And even pork is up 6% year-over-year. So we've seen that movement. But now recently, obviously, we've seen prices really get elevated here for retail beef. Maybe that was some of the factor weighing on that as we moved, you know, went through the month of May into June here. We'll see when those June numbers come out. But that's something that's a little bit of a concern to me right now. We're kind of through the 4th of July holiday, you know, and beef prices are still extremely strong. 330 choice carcasses yesterday. We're still holding those levels. We'll see if that translates into cash. But I'm starting to get to the point now. We're getting close to the end of the seasonal window here where that beef carcass might get a little bit more pressure. And I think that could bring this cattle market back down a little bit in that regard. So it's a spot to probably start hedging or building some defense for those cattle guys, given these cash prices.
Speaking of seasonality, talk to me about dairy. Yesterday, barrel and block cheese took a pretty good jump up. What do you see? Anything quick on dairy?
you know, again, that cheese price is still the driver of this market. And, you know, we've had a very choppy market. At least we're kind of finding some stability. So we'll have to kind of watch as we're getting closer to the school season. That's when we start seeing a little bit more domestic use in terms of the dairy supply. So there may be some purchasing getting built up for that time frame, as well as in the fall here, especially with football season just right around the corner.
Well, there you go. There you go. Something on the upside. Very good. Appreciate it, John. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. But he'll talk to you whenever you'd like. You can call him at 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. Again, that website, totalfarmmarketing.com. We'd sure love for you to continue to follow us on social media as well. And if there's anything that you missed conversationally with our guests like John, or maybe a story like Charity shared about ninth generation farmers in New Mexico, you can always pick that content up anytime that you like on our podcast. That's Midwest Farm Report.com, or you can also feel free to sign up for our daily e-newsletter at MidwestFarmReport.com. Then you're not going to miss a thing. All right, have a good Tuesday. Stay comfortable if it does get in the 80s. And remember, our talk text line looking for your comments, 877-301-FARM. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Beef production can be sustainable. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Maybe beef producers are not contributors to climate change, but rather could help fix the problem. That's the business model behind the South Dakota-based company AgSpire. Company spokesman and cattle rancher Jared Nock tells why the company was started.
It was really the environmental concern about cattle production, and beef production in particular, that I thought was probably the biggest risk factor to there being people, descendants or neighbors or friends, on the acres that I'm on today, 100 years from now, or beyond that, doing what we're able to do today. And was trying to seek a way to understand that, to explain it to both myself and to consumers, to make sure that we really are doing the right thing as ranches and farms on the land.
Knox says AgSpire offers sustainability programs for farms, ranches, and related organizations.
Restoring degraded farmland and saline areas back to perennial pasture, introducing livestock back to the landscape, sequestering carbon, doing all kinds of things that have not only a narrative value, but also a true outcome value that would help companies meet their sustainability goals if only they were captured and contained and passed through the supply chain.
That supply chain has some rather large players who are interested in making the industry more sustainable. And you'll hear from one of them tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Jason Lorz joins us to talk about the Wounded Warrior Push-Up Challenge.
Then Carl Winter joins us. He's a Green Bay reporter with NBC 26. We'll feature him in our Neighborhood Focus segment.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
Today, I'm going to share a tip I got from Professor Harold Pollack and Helene Olin, who wrote a practical and easy-to-read financial advice book called The Index Card. I really like this book. This isn't one of the book's big lessons. This is just a quick trick that helped Harold go through his monthly expenses and cut back his spending. Here it is. Look at your bank and credit card statements like somebody stole your card. Somebody else is spending your money. I mean, you can understand why this person needs food and gas, but why are they blowing $15 a month of your money on a mobile hotspot that you're pretty sure they never ever use? Is there anything like that you can cancel or cut back on? Boom! That wild spending, card thief version of you just helped you slim down your spending. And that is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. And take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden hosts three